Henry, our royal king, would ride a-hunting to the green forest so pleasant and fair, to have the hart chased and dainty does tripping unto Mary Sherwood his nobles repair. Hawk and hound was unbound, all things prepared for the same to the game with good regard. All along summer's day rode the king pleasantly with all his princes and nobles each one, chasing the hart and hind and the buck gallantly till the dark evening forced him to turn home. Then at last riding fast he had lost quite all his lords in the wood late a dark night. Wandering thus warily all alone up and down with the rude miller he met at the last, asking the ready way unto fair Nottingham, sir, quoth the miller, your way you have lost. Yet I think what I think truth for to say, you do not likely ride out of your way. Why, what dost thou think of me, quoth our king merrily, passing thy judgment upon me so brief? Good faith, said the miller, I mean not to flatter thee, I guess thee to be but some gentleman thief. Stand thee back in the dark, light thee not down, lest that I presently crack thy knave's crown. Thou hast abused me much, quoth the king, saying, thus I am a gentleman, and lodging I lack. Thou hast not, quoth the miller, one groat in thy purse, all thy inheritance hangs on thy back. I have gold to discharge all that I call, if it be 40 pence I will pay all. If thou be such true man, then, quoth the miller, I swear by my toldy shall lodge thee all night. Here's my hand, quoth the king, that I was ever nay soft, quoth the miller, thou mayst be a sprite. Better I'll know the air hands will I take, with none but honest men hands will I shake. Thus they went all along unto the miller's house, where they were seething of puddings and souse. The miller first entered, and then after him the king, never he came in so smoky a house. Now, quoth he, let me see what you are here. Quoth our king, look, our fill, and do not spare. I like thy countenance, thou hast an honest face. With my son Richard this night thou shalt lie. Quoth his wife, by my troth, it is a handsome youth, yet it is best husband for to deal warily. Art thou not a runaway, prithee, youth, tell? Show me thy passport, and all shall be well. Then our king presently, making low courtesy, with his hat in his hand, thus he did say, I have no passport, nor never was servitor, but a poor courtier rode out of my way. And for your kindness here offered to me, I will requite it in every degree. Then to the miller his wife whispered secretly, saying, it seems it's use of good kin, both by his apparel and eke by his manners, to turn him out certainly 'twere a great sin. Quoth he, you may see he hath some grace, e'en he doth speak to his betters in place. Well, quoth the miller's wife, young man, welcome here, and though I say it well, lodged thou shalt be. Fresh straw I will have laid on thy bed, so brave good brown hemp and sheets likewise, quoth she. I, quoth the good man, and when that is done, you shalt lie with no worse than mine own son. Nay, first, quoth Richard, good fellow, tell me true, hast thou no creepers within thy gay hose? Or art thou not troubled with the scabbard? Oh, I pray, quoth our king, what things are those? Art thou not lousy nor scabby, quoth he? If thou be'st, surely thou liest not with me. This caused the king suddenly to laugh most heartily, till the tears trickled down from his eyes. Then to their supper were they set orderly, with hot bag pudding and good apple pies, nappy ale good and stale in a brown bowl, which did about the board merrily troll. Here, quoth the miller, good fellow, I'll drink to thee, and to all cardinals wherever they be. I'll pledge you, quoth our king, and thank you heartily for your good welcome in every degree. And here in like manner I'll drink to your son. Do so, quoth Richard, but quick let it come. Wife, quoth the miller, fetch me forth life, but that we of his sweetness a little may taste. A fair venison pastry then brought she forth presently. Eat, quoth the miller, but sir, make no waste. Here's dainty Lightfoot in faith, said our king, I never before ate so dainty a thing. I wis, said Richard, no dainty at all it is, for we do eat of it every day. In what place, said the king, may be bought like to this, we never pay penny for it by fay. From Mary Sherwood we fetch it home here, now and then we make bold with our king's dear. Then I think, said our king, that it is venison. Each fool, quoth Richard, may full well see that. Never are we without two or three under the roof, very well fleshed and excellent fat. But prithee say nothing wherever thou go, we would not for twopence the king should know. Then I think, said our king, that it is venison. Each fool, quoth Richard, full well may see that. Never are we without two or three under the roof, very well fleshed and excellent fat. But prithee say nothing wherever thou go, we would not for twopence the king it should know. Doubt not then, said the king, my promise secrecy, the king shall never know more on for me. A cup of lance will they drink unto him then, and to their beds they passed presently. The nobles next morning went all up and down, for to seek out the king in every town. At last at the miller's house soon they spied him plain, as he was mounting upon his fair steed, to whom they came presently falling upon their knee, which made the miller's heart woefully bleed. Shaking and quaking before him he stood, thinking he should have been hanged by the rood. The king, perceiving him fearful and trembling, drew forth his sword, and nothing he said. The miller did fall down crying before them all, doubting the king would have cut off his head. But his kind courtesy for to requite gave him a living and made him a knight. When as our royal king came home from Nottingham, and with his nobles at Westminster lay, recounting the sports and pastimes that they had ta'en in this late progress along by the way, of them all great and small he did protest, the miller of Mansfield sport liked him best. And now, my lords, quoth the king, I am determined, against St. George next a sumptuous feast, that this old miller, our last confirmed at night, with his son Richard shall both be my guest. For in this merriment 'tis my desire to talk with the jolly knight and the young squire. When as the lord saw the king's pleasantness, they were right joyful and glad in their hearts. A pursuivant there was sent straight on the business, which had oftentimes been in those parts. When he came to the place where he did dwell, his message orderly then he did tell. God save your worship, then said the messenger, and grant your lady her heart's desire, and to your son Richard good fortune and happiness, that sweet young gentleman and gallant young squire. Our king greets you all, and thus doth say, you must come to the court on St. George Day. Therefore, in any case, fail not to be in place, I wish, quoth the miller, this is an odd jest. What should we do there? He said, faith, I am half afraid, I doubt, quoth Richard, be hanged at the least. Nay, quoth the messenger, you do mistake, our king he provides a great feast for your sake. Then said the miller, now by my troth, messenger, thou hast contented my worship full well. Hold, here's 3 farthings to quit thy great gentleness for the happy tidings which thou dost me tell. Let me see, here's to thee, tell to our king, we'll wait on his mastership in everything. The pursuivant smiled at their simplicity, and making many legs took their reward. And taking then his leave with great humility, to the king's court again he repaired, shewing unto his grace in each degree the knight's most liberal gift and bounty. When he was gone away, thus did the miller say, here comes expenses and charges and deeds. Now we must needs be brave, though we spend all we have, for of new garments we have great need. Of horses and serving men we must have store, with bridles and saddles and 20 things more. To Sir John quod, his wife, never fret nor frown, you shall be at no more charges for me. I will turn and trim up my old russet gown with everything as fine as may be. And on our mill horses full swift we'll ride, with pills and panels we shall provide. Just Sir John quod, his wife, never fret nor frown, you shall be at no more charges for me. For I will turn and trim up my old russet gown with everything as fine as may be. And on our mill horses full swift we'll ride, with pillows and panels as we shall provide. In this most stately sort rode they unto the court, their jolly son Richard foremost of all, who set up by good hap a cock's feather in his cap, and so they jetted down towards the king's hall. This merry old miller with his hands on his side, his wife like maid made up did mince at the tide. The king and his nobles that heard of his coming, meeting this gallant knight with his brave train, "Welcome, sir knight," quoth he, "with this your gay lady, good Sir John Cockle, once welcome again. And so is this squire of courage so free," quoth Dick, "a boss on you, do you know me?" Quoth our king gently, "How should I forget thee? Thou wast my own bedfellow, well that I wot. But I think of a trick, tell me that, prithee, Dick, how thou with farting didst make the bed hot." "Thou horse unhappy knave," then quoth the knight, "speak cleanly to our king, or else go shite." The king and his courtiers heartily laughed at this, while our king took them both by the hand. With ladies and their maids, like to the queen of spades, the miller's wife did so orderly stand. A milkmaid's courtesy at every word, and down the folks were set at the sideboard. Where the king royally in princely majesty sat at his dinner with joy and delight. When they had eaten well, to jesting then, they fell taking a bowl of wine, drank to the knight. "Here's to you both," he said, "in wine, ale, and beer, thanking you all for your country cheer." Quoth Sir John Cockle, "I'll pledge you a pottle, were it the best ale in Nottinghamshire." "But then," said the king, "I do think of a thing, some of your light foot I would we had here." "Ho, ho," quoth Richard, "full well I may say't, 'tis knavery to eat it and then to betray it." "Why art thou angry?" quoth the king merrily, "In faith I take it very unkind. I thought thou wouldst pledge me in ale and wine heartily. You're like to stay," quoth Dick, "till I have dined. You feed us with twatling dishes so small, zounds, a black pudding is better than all." "Aye, marry," quoth our king, "that were a dainty thing, if a man could get one here for to eat." With that Dick arose and plucked one out of his hose, with which heat of his breech began for to sweat. The king made a proffer to snatch it away, "To speed for your master, good sir, you must stay." Thus in great merriment was the time wholly spent, and then the ladies prepared to dance. Old Sir John Cockle and Richard in content unto this practice the king did advance. Here with the ladies such sport did they make, the nobles with laughing did make their hearts ache. Many thanks for their pains did the king give them, asking your Richard if he would wed. "Among these ladies free, tell me which liketh thee," quoth he, "Jug Grumble with the red head. She's my love, she's my life, she will I wed, she hath sworn I shall have her maidenhead." Then Sir John Cockle the king called unto him, and of Mary Sherwood made him more seer, and gave him out of hand 300 pound yearly. "Now take heed, you steal no more of my dear. And once a quarter let's here have your view, and thus, Sir John Cockle, I bid you adieu."